chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the Mottawog, the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCP. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Hope you're having a great weekend. I'm surprised by tonight's show. I got dates and many things mixed up during this week. I've had a virus, and I was thinking that I was doing my show alone, and I got here, and lo and behold, we have fabulous guests. So for all of you who may be getting ready to call me, because I invited everyone's questions, we're going to hold off on that, and I'll do a little bit more promotion about taking your phone calls. It's something that we want to do here on Mouthful probably once a quarter. I'm going to start actively involving listeners, but it's not going to be today. But there is one thing, before I introduce our guest, there is one thing I want to talk about. I watched a lot of Netflix during this session with the virus, and I came across something that absolutely took my breath away. It's probably 2 or 3 in the morning, and when I can't sleep, I will often put on one of the documentaries that are narrated by David Attenborough. And so I was watching, I think it's Planet Earth, the one that covers big things that happen, the tides, mountains. I find his voice very soothing, and I can sometimes drift off. Well, I watched the one about the Great Salmon Run, and it was about salmon on the North American coast, and it showed a lot of the interaction between the salmon and grizzly bears, and it went beyond that to the entire ecosystem. It never once talked about farmed salmon. It wasn't about that. But towards the end, when they were wrapping everything up, and we had gone from the stream where they first hatch and their years out in the ocean swimming and developing that big, huge muscle, coming back, the struggle they make, returning to their home. And then what happens, the way that certain land animals and birds bring their carcasses that are, they would die, they die when they spawn. Atlantic salmon don't die when they spawn. They can come back and spawn again. But Pacific salmon die when they spawn. And their rotting carcasses go to nourish the land there and feed the little hatchlings, but also they're picked up by birds, carried by other animals, and carried deep, deep, deep inland, where they bring nutrients from the sea to our forests and fields and meadows. And it just gave me chills. I think I cried as I watched it. And I thought, even though it never mentions it never mentions farmed salmon, it doesn't really talk at all about human interaction and salmon, I never saw a more remarkable explanation for why wild salmon is so important and why, we should not have anything to do with farmed salmon. It is an industry that should die. I don't care if they find ways to feed them better and to make the environmental impact less than it is right now. salmon, wild Pacific salmon, is an absolute miracle. If you have Netflix streaming, I really encourage you to watch that. It's one of the best documentaries I have ever seen. So, and now moving on, there is a barn dance coming up, and that's a barn dance are two of my favorite words to say together in English. I mean, how can you not love a barn dance? This is happening next Saturday, May 30th. It is Barbecue Brews and Barn Dance. It's the third annual kickoff for the Gravenstein Apple Fair coming up in August, as always. And we have with us Marshall Beeling, did I say that right?
You said it right.
Of Foxcraft, Susie Gruber of Farm Trails, and Nick Diamond, also of Foxcraft. Welcome to Mouthful.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you.
You have no idea how glad I am that you're here. It's fabulous. So let's talk first about the event and where it's happening, why it's happening, all that.
Yeah. So this event is happening Saturday, May 30th at Dutton Ranch outside of Grayton. It's from
That's where it was last year.
Yeah, same place as last year. Mm-hmm. And it's from 5:30 p.m. till 10 p.m. We're starting off with a brews and cheese reception, and followed by a wonderful farm to fork meal chefed by Daniel Cadan and Mariana Gardenhire from Backyard.
Backyard. They were chefs last year too.
Yep.
Last year too.
Yep. And we're sourcing everything locally again from our amazing members. So it's going to be quite a delectable menu. So we're doing a mixed grill. We're doing local polenta, heirloom beans.
When you say local polenta, whose polenta is it?
It's called the Black Oak Project.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. Where is it located, do you know?
You know, it's here in Sonoma County, and I apologize, but off the top of my head, I can't remember.
We'll find it.
Yeah. And so, and then the red beans are coming from Tierra Vegetables.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're getting tempeh from Alive and Healing.
Mm-hmm.
And what else are we getting? We're getting mushrooms from Mycopia. We're getting rye berries from Preston.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's quite a fun menu. It's really exciting. And then, of course, to top it off, we're having fresh strawberries from Bloomfield Organics with ice cream from Strauss.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Sounds like a great menu.
Yeah.
Tell me about the dance part.
The dance part. So Cahoots is going to be our band again, and they're quite a lively Americana band. Very danceable, very fun, spirited. Yeah, definitely got everyone kicking up their heels last year. So I expect that given all the amazing food and the amazing local wine and cider and beer, that we'll have a lively crowd again.
Sounds great. Yeah, it was a lovely event last year. I really had a great time. And when you say it kicks off the Gravenstein Apple mm-hmm. Fair, what's the tie-in? Because the fair is not coming, of course, for a couple
yeah,
months.
Yeah, it's really a way of it's one of our fundraising events leading up to the fair.
Okay.
And we will have tickets for sale, advance tickets for the Apple Fair for sale at the event.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so $12 for adults, and I forget what the kid price is, but we'll have advanced tickets there. We'll also have one of our silent auction items is going to be a signed G. Clay of this year's Apple Fair poster.
Oh, cool!
Dan Gilbert creates the image every year, and mm-hmm. he'll be there and he'll sign the poster for the lucky bidder.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a way of kind of starting we've started planning already, obviously, but really starting to build the energy
really
towards
build
the fair.
And the fair is doing well.
The fair is doing
Which
really
is
well.
Such happy news.
Yes, and just a little piece about that. We are teaming with Sonoma County Regional Parks to replant oak trees at Regal. So that's a very exciting feature of this year's fair is that about a month ago they planted 10 new oak trees. So it's going to be an annual thing.
Are they tiny?
No.
Or? Oh.
No, they're good-sized trees.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good. I live right by there.
Yeah.
So that is really great to know.
Yeah.
Now, how is Foxcraft involved, and what is Foxcraft?
Foxcraft Hard Cider is one of the newest, if not the newest, hard cider company in Sonoma County.
Mm.
We're locally owned, and our offices and warehouse are in Santa Rosa.
Did you bring any?
We did.
Oh, right on.
Should we get to it right now?
If you have everything you need, otherwise we'll put on some music and get you what you need.
All right.
Well, that's great. Well, we do have it, and I'll enjoy watching you give it a try. And The cider company is composed of just a small locally owned group, and we are working on our specialty is specialties. You know, there's a lot of wonderful hard apple cider. We're blessed in Sonoma County with great hard apple cider. As such, we were kind of looking for our niche, which was an ultra-premium hard cider that really focused on celebrating the apple with at the same time, but accenting it with other juices, if you will.
Oh, really? In what way?
So we finished our hard apple cider with pear on our pear varietal, and we also have a blood orange that is also has some natural flavors with it that are – it's actually literally a tea, which – I can't really elaborate too much on it. It's sort of the secret ingredient that creates balance for us. We also have a cranberry that is just amazingly nice. It's interesting because when you put it in a glass, it's a nice rosé color. Because cranberries, they in the amount of finishing juice that we're using on a large batch of predominantly hard apple cider, it doesn't impart a lot of color. So it's just a nice rosé. And people, when they think cranberry, they think, oh, this is going to be a deep red, and it's going to just explode cranberry.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't. It's just kind of an accent, and I'm looking forward to
it. I love cranberries. Love them.
Yeah, given that this is mouthful, I'm looking forward to having you try a mouthful.
And then where do you brew? Is it in Santa Rosa?
We actually, everything is estate bottled in Oregon.
Oh, in Oregon.
And we do that because we need to be able to keep the price controllable because it is an ultra-premium product. It's literally a branch-to-bottle product that we grow it, crush it, ferment it, bottle it, and finish it in one facility in eastern Oregon.
Oh, wow.
And there is trucking involved, which we find regrettable, but at the same time, we, in order to bring it to the consumer at a price point that they can enjoy and yet be all natural and gluten-free. That was what we undertook in order to do it. We are also exploring. In fact, I was scheduled to walk an orchard here in Santa Rosa this weekend because we do have some local farmers who are interested in Foxcraft and really want to get on board. And so we're thinking about doing some limited release, small batch, local editions.
Now, we've got to back up for a second.
Okay.
You just glossed over that gluten-free thing real quick.
Okay.
Because
there's
like no gluten in apples.
There isn't. It's a beautiful thing.
Is gluten ever added in some form to?
There's some different sort of yeast combinations.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, in the fermentation that can lead to it. There's, I can think of a couple of cider companies that do have gluten.
Okay, that's
what
I was wondering.
Yeah, but for the most part, you know, cider like wine is gluten-free.
Yeah, naturally.
It's funny.
It's like olive oil.
Yeah.
Never been there.
Hard cider has a little bit of an identity crisis in that we're made like wine and sold like beer. So, you know, price point is something that is important because, you know, we want to make a premium quality product in wine country that wine drinkers would find satisfying. And yet at the same time, the expectation is that it's priced like beer. And so that's something that is slowly changing in the cider world. And we're happy to be part of bringing the most quality cider product available to the market at a price that's not going to break the bank.
Sounds good. And I think we're getting ready to open some cider over there.
I'm going to go get it.
Are you going to go get it?
Still, right?
Yep, okay.
You got it.
I'll be right.
So Matthew's going to go get it, and we're just going to keep on talking. While they are getting the cider, Susie, you and I are going to chat. What do you do for Farm Trails?
I am Carmen's right hand.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
She needs one. She's busy.
She's very busy, which is exactly why I'm here tonight, because she had something else she needed to do for Farm Trails today. Uh-huh. So, yeah. So, yeah. No,
should say Carmen is the executive director.
She is. Carmen Snyder is our beloved executive director who has really been instrumental in turning Farm Trails around, and we're so lucky that she's as dedicated as she is.
Yeah, it was that really scary there for a time.
It was quite scary.
Yeah, it looked like Farm Trails was going to disappear, just like Select Sonoma did, and it's just such a profound joy that did not happen, and thank you for all you're doing with it. Open it. Nice mouthful sound. Oh, what? You're giving me a whole bottle?
Yeah, well, that's for you to.
Oh, that's the blood orange. I'm going to take a little taste. Okay, blood orange. Okay, I'm going to pour. Okay. Should I pour for everybody?
Sure.
Sure.
Here we go. Listen.
Wow, that is one of my favorite sounds.
The amazing thing for me has been going to some of the events like the Cider Summit in San Francisco and hearing the people's reaction to our cider. It's been very rewarding to hear them say things like, I thought only the French could do this, could make ciders this good. And you know, we had people coming back at the end of the event saying, hey, I've been around the whole event, I've tasted everybody's cider, and your blood orange wins the prize.
Oh, interesting. And this blood orange is very nice. Most people would never identify this as having blood orange in it. It adds just almost a little base note of spice. You know, there's that spiciness to blood orange.
Yeah, we worked really hard to get the cider to sit on your tongue in a delightful way, in a very refreshing way, and to finish and just elegantly disappear. So we worked really hard to get to that characteristic, and it really shows up when people do taste and they take the and smell, and they're delightfully surprised and comment about how refreshing it tastes and how it has just this delightful finish, and it just goes away.
It's very nice. Is it a little off dry?
How would you
or is that just a is that a perception of sweetness and not actual sweetness?
Well, in the cider world, this would actually be construed as dry. Mm. Where wine drinkers are concerned, it would be off dry.
Okay, because I'm thinking of just a couple of the something from, I'll think of the names in a minute. A couple of other ciders seem a little drier than this particular
there are
one.
There are a couple, you know, off the top of my head, another one of the Farm Trails member, Golden State Cider, is a nice, mm-hmm. wonderful dry cider.
And then Devoto. Mm-hmm. Devoto, one I tasted, I think I tasted it 3 years they were in, and there was one, so one of the best things I've ever had in any category of any beverage, and I can't remember which one it was. It might have been vintage specific Gravenstein.
Yeah, their Gravenstein is excellent, so it wouldn't surprise me that would be
the
one.
It might have been that one, and it was something just the second I tasted it, I was like, oh, this goes so beautifully with cheddar cheese. And then there was also one from Tilted Shed.
Right.
That some of theirs were off dry, but one in particular, it might have been the smoked one, was very dry. Yeah, but this is lovely.
Tilted Shed is Ellen's work, and her last name's escaping me.
Cavalli.
Right now. Cavalli. Cavalli. There you go.
Yes.
And she's making great cider, and mm-hmm. they're really boutique cider. They're mm-hmm. excellent. They're not in huge production runs, and it's because she's got what she has, and she really is committed to the effort and, mm-hmm. and does really good work. So, and really at Foxcraft, we kind of realize that the bar is set very high locally, mm-hmm. so we wanted to make our production numbers higher than really what Devoto and Tilted Shed can necessarily mm-hmm. do with local apples, which is what forced us to go a state cider in Oregon in order to really produce the mm-hmm. amount of cider that we need to really to take care of the demand.
And what sort of quantity are you producing?
Well, we'll do a batch that's 1,200 gallons at a time.
Okay.
And you know, some batches from locally, that would be all the apples that you would have available
right.
for the whole
yeah.
season would produce
yeah.
1,200 gallons if you were uh-huh. lucky. So that's why we're talking to some people locally about, you know, procuring some apples for some small batch, special mm-hmm. release, Founders Reserve.
Uh-huh. Nice.
But for the most part, we want to have a whole line of specialty ciders that are quality in nature that are available all year round.
Mm-hmm. And what's your distribution region?
We are very fortunate right now to have a great craft distributor in Morris Distributing from Petaluma, and mm-hmm. they're distributing for us in Mendocino down to South San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And then Crissa Imports just signed with us for distribution from South San Francisco down to Santa Cruz, Monterey, mm-hmm. And over to the East Bay, the Altamont Pass, basically. Mm-hmm. And then in Sacramento, we have Musseter Distributing, which is taking care of us all the way to the California state line up to Chico and south to Lodi.
Okay, so yeah. it's spreading out there. That's great news for apples. That's great news for cider. It's great news for cider lovers. We're going to take a little musical break, and we'll be right back here on Mouthful.
Well done, Nick.
Tell you about a gambler, folks. Jim Weaver was his name. And I don't know where he came from, but gambling was his trade. Riding here close beside me, I'll tell you about a game. The damnedest game in all my years I ever did see played. Some said they'd seen him play before down on the Barbary Coast. He said that might be true enough, 'cause he'd gambled all around. And he lost his stake to a jack high straight out at Sutter's Ford. But he'd saved a little poke in case of a game within our town. And a lady loves a gambler running loose, running free. I felt a tremble deep inside when I turned around to see. He was looking hard at me. Now the game was set in Daddy's tent, an honest man, you know. And all the boys in town were set to take Jim Weaver's gold. 'Cause digging gold is hard work and panning is too slow. And I saw Jim Weaver smiling at some little private joke. Well, by midnight he had all the gold that the boys in town had saved. And they never caught him cheating, though they watched him all the while. And he never lost a single hand at any game he played. He never lost a dollar, boys, and he never lost his smile. And a lady loves a gambler, smiling free, smiling wide. I knew I wouldn't rest till I was smiling by his side, smiling as we ride. Soon all the boys are busted flat, but they wanted still to play. So they asked Jim Weaver what was left to gamble in the game. He said he'd cut high cards one time, and if he lost, he'd pay. But if he won, they had to swear to give the town his name. And he told my daddy he would bet $10 on the side, and I could be my daddy's stake if I would so agree. And I rode out of Weaverville next morning as his bride. And I left the town that bears the name of the gambling man and me. And a lady loves a gambler if he cheats all the same. And no one saw me slip to him the ace that won the game and gave the town our name.
Music tonight on Mouthful is by the lovely and missed Kate Wolfe, along with Mouthful's change in name from The Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour to Smart Talk About Food, Wine, and Farming. I have decided to feature almost exclusively local musicians here on Mouthful instead of tying things together thematically as I've done for almost 20 years. We're just being more and more local. Okay, we have more ciders to taste. Sitting before me, cranberry, apple blossom, pear, and blood orange. My guess would be to go with pear next. What would you say?
Actually, I would go with cranberry because okay. It's just slightly sweeter than the
okay.
blood orange.
Oh, okay.
Okay. May I?
Not to prejudice your taste, this one's my favorite.
Okay. And it is. It's very, very pale. Almost... It's like the blush on a white peach, especially the ring of Saturn white peach.
Thank you.
Wow. Oh, lovely. Lovely tart finish with that little cranberry crackle.
And yet still celebrating the apple. It doesn't, doesn't overwhelm it.
No, not at all. It's not like drinking cranberry juice at all.
Right. So you'll notice that there's some nice oak in there. It's interesting because with this, we really couldn't barrel age it per se because the time in barrels would be too long. So we actually went with American white oak and had it essentially giant tea bags of American white oak and subjected it to a certain number of hours as opposed to days. And it just seemed to impart the right amount of balance to give it some nice complexity so it wasn't just apples and cranberries standing alone. It just tied it together really nicely.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's very, very nice. You were saying earlier that it's made, cider, hard cider, is made like wine, sold like beer. Could you elaborate a little bit on that? Is that primarily because it comes in six packs, single serving sizes, and price wise?
I think it has to do with you know, the history of cider, and I'm not going to bore your listeners with
You won't. We're all geeks. Mouthful listeners are geeks. We love details.
Well, it's, you know, from a history of cider standpoint, you know, cider was the biggest thing in this country prior to Prohibition. And when Prohibition came along, beer got legs and has run for a long ways. And I think the cider-beer transition sort of made them identify the product with each other going back 100 years. So
now, what is alcohol level a reason as well? My sense has been that cider is closer to beer in alcohol level.
It is closer to craft beer in alcohol level, and it's like beer in that you can make it as high in alcohol or as low and sessionable as you would like it to be. With the with our ciders, they all run about 6.5% by volume, which is would be the equivalent of a good solid craft beer, not a big IPA or you know, or a domestic beer, which is tend to be a little lower, and I'll call it about 4. So, you know, definitely getting, you know, some cider sneaks up on people. I think they come into drinking it thinking it's not going to be very high in alcohol, and they have a pint of cider, and then they realize, wow, you know, there's definitely an impact here. I need to watch myself and be careful. So, and we definitely encourage that. And we actually feel the right recommended pour for our ciders is really about, you know, 8 to 10 ounces. It's not necessarily a pint. And it's has to do with, you know, with the consumer, what they want ultimately.
Sure.
But they can always choose to have more than one. As far as being sold like beer, it's literally in the beer sets in grocery stores.
And I shouldn't say, I shouldn't have said 6-pack, 4-pack.
That's okay. Cider is sold in 6-packs as well as 4-packs. And, you know, the higher end the cider, usually the larger the format, the bottle, and the more wine-like the packaging becomes. And again, it's for two reasons. It's to identify it as a premium product, and it's also to put it on the shelf of like products, you know, so more of the wine side. Marshall, do you have any comments about that?
You know, I did want to say something about the evolution of beer and cider. And cider, as you were saying, is the was the number one beverage in the United States up until Prohibition. And Nick, explain a little bit more about that. On the trees all got pulled out because the apple market crashed when Prohibition happened. And you can't just grow an apple tree back in a matter of a couple of years. It takes the better part of 5 to 10 years before you get production.
It does. It does. But really, I would think primarily locally what happened was you know, more recent, which is, you know, the, you know, winning that, and, you know, there are plenty of listeners who know more about this than I do, but winning that competition in France.
Right.
Really.
76?
Yeah.
Yes, 76.
Exactly. It put wine on the map in California forever, in Napa, and now Sonoma, in Russian River Valley. And in doing so, you know, that, by being put on the map, all at once, this became known as one of the great grape growing regions, and people started tearing out their Gravensteins in wholesale numbers in order to plant grapes, which, you know, incidentally, 22 gallons of water to create a bunch of grapes. But at the same time, you know, you can dry farm apples. So we are already seeing a resurgence in apples and people putting apples in here locally. People are really conscious of the fact that this is part of our heritage and along the Gravenstein Highway in Sonoma County. And you're seeing more and more Gravensteins going in and more apples. And the Duttons take great care to make sure that they are shepherding the tradition of apples. And they have probably the most commercial apples of any outfit in Sonoma County.
Yeah, they do a lot of orchard management, too. They're the ones who take care of my friend's 15 acres at Dos Reyes Ranch. And I know that Tilted Shed is putting in cider apples. And one thing people forget, I think, I always hear Johnny Appleseed's name evoked, you know, along with apple pie and such things. Johnny Appleseed planted cider apples back in, you know, the 1700s, and then you can even go back much further than that in Europe. Cider was the most common beverage because it was safer to drink than water was, because there was not a lot of water purification available. So the kids and mom and dad would get up in the morning and they would have cider. Breaks at lunch involved cider.
And that's cider, not juice.
Right, cider.
That's
hard.
It's hard cider.
Yeah, it's hard cider. And, you know, one of the things that alcohol does, alcohol is protective. And so there's this very long tradition of cider as an extremely wholesome beverage. And when we think of Johnny Appleseed, you know, what we should think of is the really small tart apples that are the best for cider. And I love it that the Gravenstein is bouncing back. It never went below 300 acres. I think it might have hovered around 500. But it's going back up. I've got a lot where I live. I live in the middle of an orchard with Asian pears, and several kinds of apples and a few kinds of plums. And it's just great. The apple blossoms, you know, it looks like somebody unfurled bolts of lace over the landscape. So this is really good news for so many reasons. What's the next one we taste?
Oh, go ahead. Let's get started with some apple blossom.
Apple blossom. Okay, and tell me why it's called that.
The apple blossom is a...
cork it.
Oh, a bottle opener would help. The apple blossom is interesting because, again, in order to stay with what we're focusing on, which is specialty cider, we really needed to be conscious of the fact that there are so many good apple ciders out there already. How are we going to make ourselves different? So we called it apple blossom, and really the apple blossom has some other natural juices in there that I won't divulge, but there's a medley of other natural juices in there that have a rounding quality to the apple, which can be somewhat sharp, especially our fermentation combination. We have five apple blend that we use for our base cider, and then we actually finish it with a nice bright juice and a couple of other natural juices in there as well. And that's why we didn't feel like we really could call it apple. We wanted to call it apple blossom.
I see.
Because everything else, it's blood orange, it's cranberry, it's pear, but then you have apple blossom, and it's because it's really just, we didn't feel like we could call it entirely apple. So
apple blossom, who doesn't love the term apple blossom?
Yeah.
And it's very nice. It's very apple-y.
Exactly.
It's very apple. It's like a mouthful of pippin in a way.
Exactly. And that's what we were focusing on, is if you're going to make an apple, how can we represent apple most? And really the other juices we put in there really help us with aromatics, really make it, really bring that smell forward. Sometimes there, by adding another juice, you can actually accent the apple more.
It's like when you add, I think it's Viognier. I think it when you add Viognier to red wine, it actually deepens the color. So Viognier is a, I think it's Viognier. Viognier is a white wine, and many winemakers will add a bit to make it more red. So it's that sort of function,
I'm on the right
guess.
Show because you get it. You totally understand
yes,
I totally
get it.
So, no, I definitely appreciate that. And that's the apple blossom. It's just designed to be a nice kind of homage to the apple.
Well, you accomplished that. You said earlier, and I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. I think I did. The apple, you use apples. They go from the orchard. It all takes place on the same property, right?
That's correct.
Can you talk a little bit, and if you can't, it's fine, about there's some apple cider, some ciders, hard ciders on the market that use juice. They use the commodity apple juice concentrate that comes from China. And we don't have to name names. I'm not going to name names. But some of the ones that are really huge production do that, right?
There are some out there that do. Yes, absolutely. And really, I think of it this way. There are four basic levels of cider. There's your basic value everyday cider, which is kind of introductory cider drinking.
And then would that be introductory hard cider?
Hard cider, okay. Correct. Thank you. And then there's premium, mm-hmm. Which is a little bit of a step up. People are starting to learn what they like and what sort of flavors that they want to drink. Mm-hmm. And then there's ultra premium, which is a little bit more costly, a lot better quality ingredients.
Fresh pressed,
exactly right. No concentrates involved when you get to that level. And then you're into boutique, which is, boutique really isn't, boutique sounds almost negative. It's not. Boutique is small run,
small
specialty, mm-hmm. beautifully made, handcrafted cider. And we categorize ourselves actually as ultra premium. And the reason that we do is because of the quantity that we make it and the general appeal that we need to capture. Uh-huh. We have some wonderful boutique cider makers in Sonoma County. We are very, very blessed. Mm-hmm. This is quickly in the cider industry becoming one of the areas for hard cider in the country, mm-hmm. is Sonoma County.
You know, there a number of years ago, I'm going to say maybe 15, I'm not sure, there was a little flurry. I had a couple of, my mouthful's been on the air for 19 and a half years, and I had a couple of guests. There was one, they called it Method Champenoise, and that was the sort of bottle it was in, and if I remember correctly, it was made in Forestville, and it was called Sonoma Cider. Does that sound familiar?
Well, there's, of course, the big Sonoma Cider company out there now, which is a nice, ultra-premium, premium cider.
Mm-hmm. Whatever this one was isn't around anymore. And then my friend Bill Ryan, who is a fabulous musician, plays. He teaches English in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So he goes for seven-week stints to Vietnam. And he teaches English, but he also plays music. He always goes over, he buys a few guitars. When he gets there, he works with kids. And when he leaves the guitars with the kids that he's been working with. He lives in West Sebastopol. And he did cider for a while. And he still had, I'm putting a good 10, 12, maybe 15 years ago. So there was this flurry of local cider, and there was one in Napa. And then it all vanished. It just all went away. And then there was this resurgence that I think started with DeVoto, and then along came Tiltage. Well, it started with Ace, mm-hmm. Which was making cider on a big, big level, and had for a while a little cider pub. And then you'd probably put them at, they're one of the, whatever we call the bigger ones. And then I think DeVoto, followed by Tilted Shed, were the boutique ones that came along first.
Right. Well, I definitely think you've nailed it with DeVoto and Tilted Shed. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both wonderful boutique ciders that are smaller batch, mm-hmm. That are a real pleasure to drink and to be savored, truly. As far as Ace, you really can't have a cider conversation without bringing up Ace. They were probably the first and now our biggest in the area. Mm-hmm. They would fall under that basic everyday drinker.
Right,
that's
right.
What they're capturing. And I worked for them for 4 years. Mm-hmm. So very familiar with their operation.
And he was a sales. Is it Jeffrey?
The owner.
It's Jeff, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a salesman or a distributor, I think.
Yeah, at one time he was an importer.
I remember that he distributed Anchor Steam Beer.
Exactly.
Because I knew one of the brewers really well. So
yeah, he was responsible for bringing Blackthorn to this country, which was another English cider. And, mm-hmm. and he definitely has laid a lot of groundwork in the area, in the area of hard cider. And really, my departure there was just wanting to kind of
branch
have
out.
My career evolve a little mm-hmm. bit more, and to do something that that I've always wanted to do was to help make cider, mm-hmm. And also to grow a company that was really on the ultra premium side of the category.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, speaking of Ace cider, the last of the four ciders we're going to taste is pear, mm-hmm. and my younger daughter Nicole fell in love with Ace pear cider.
Oh, excellent.
And she's very sorry for many reasons that she does not live in Sonoma County. She's an academic, and academics go where the academic jobs are. So right now she lives in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And she and her husband both teach at the University of Southern Miss. And whenever she comes home and she's there, I want some pear cider. So let's taste this one, because I will surprise Nicole with it with her next visit.
Well, that would be wonderful. I will tell you that this is the cider that I'm probably personally most proud of. I spent a lot of time at festivals pouring Ace Perry over the years. And this cider really is kind of a culmination of experience for me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, you got two comments when you used to pour the Perry, which was either too sweet or it's perfect. I love it. I got to have more. Mm-hmm. So, and really, this pear represents a lot of time in development, where I essentially was looking at cutting some sweetness out of what my background of pear cider was, and also it's so well made from a balance standpoint that we have, it's a five apple blend, you know, finished with nice Bartlett pear juice, and it's just impeccably balanced and really focused on making sure it never got too sweet.
You know, you nailed my reaction to it. You know, I should just, I don't have a really major sweet tooth. I drink vinegar.
I've
been
for your health.
I've been making shrubs lately. I'm just totally enchanted with shrubs. I've made, the last few weeks, I've made strawberry shrub and blueberry shrub, and I don't sweeten them. I just use whatever sweetness is in the fruit and then pour it over ice with some sparkling water or low-alcohol sparkling wine. And that tartness, I just love it. And, you know, Nicole loved the Ace Pear, and for me, unless it was extremely cold, it was just too sweet for me. This is not too sweet. This is really lovely.
Well, thank you very much. It's a compliment. And we were fortunate enough in our first week to be at the Sonoma County Battle of the Brews, and which is run by the 2030 Club, and they do a beautiful job, and it's one of their big fundraisers. And we actually won specialty gold with our pear cider.
And, congratulations.
Yeah, and as if that weren't enough, it also ended up becoming the best of show cider at the Battle of the Brews. So, and that was with... you know, a lot of great cider makers in the house. I was very humbled by the experience. So.
Well, it's really lovely, beautiful on the palate. We're going to take one more musical break, and we'll be back for our last segment. Time flies on Mouthful.
When the morning breaks and the sunlight warms my soul, in the east the eagle flies and the red tail proudly soars. I'm on my way to the place of the spirit one. Grandfather, hear me now, I am on fire. Let the Sundance guide my feet to your desire. Show me visions for my eyes, words like gold that shimmer in the sun. Hi-ya, hi-ya, hi-ya. When the sun goes down and it grows too dark to see, I look within to the shaman's mysteries. I'm on my way to die and live again. Grandmother Earth, I cry, give me rest. I take my place with a woman in the west. Show me the raven and the bear, the way of herbs and the black obsidian. Hi-ya, hi-ya, hi-ya. Turn toward the south like the water I will run. In innocence and trust, the moonchild song is sung. I'm on my way, place of the sacred plants, my emotions and my will at their command, where the turtle's voice is heard upon the land, where the wise coyote prowls, the rattlesnake will call me to the dance. Hi-ya, hi-ya, In the deepest night, the stars watch over me. Old woman of the north, my mind seeks clarity. I'm on my way to the place of the northern winds. Let the thunder and the lightning carry me. Lay my thoughts to rest and send me into sleep. The hawk and the buffalo, my dreams, white crystal magic medicine. Hi-ya, 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 hi-ya.
It's mouthful. Like I said, time flies. We are going to leave the subject of hard cider for a while, just briefly. It's a subject we want to be engaged with at all times, and go back to the main reason for tonight's show, and that is Barbecue Brews and Barn Dance coming up next Saturday, May 30th. It's the third annual kickoff for the Gravenstein Apple Fair, which is happening in August. So let's talk some more about it.
Sure. So this will be, just to name it, this will be our 42nd Apple Fair. So this is in support of that. One of the things that I love about the Barn Dance is we really bring together our members as producers. It's mm-hmm. a great way of highlighting the variety of food producers we have, and an invitation for the community to really experience what really good food is like, mm-hmm. prepared by an amazing chef. Mm-hmm. So... Stemple Creek beef. It's just
simple.
Stemple Creek beef.
Oh, Stemple Creek beef.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the cheeses we're going to have, Pugsley, Wyrock.
Wyrock.
Yeah.
I love Wyrock. I'm eating one of their sheep's milk cheese.
Yeah.
This last week, it's so good.
Yeah, and so it's really an opportunity to savor the best of what our members offer, mm-hmm. and. They get excited about it. I mean, we're going to have several of our members there that are providing, the cheesemakers will be there,
right.
talking about what they're doing, the cider makers. So in addition to Foxcraft, we'll have Tilted mm-hmm. Shed and Golden State, and also Specific Gravity. So there's going to be four different ciders this time.
Uh-huh.
And it's just this beautiful community experience. It's mm-hmm. the ranch is a beautiful setting. We do it in these, kind of picnic tables. It's very, very earthy.
Yeah, you sit with strangers and leave with new friends.
Exactly.
And so one of the things I really like about it, well, first of all, it reminds me, God, I think it was one of the very first Select Sonoma County events where I was a new writer and just getting to know people. And I think it was Betsy Tim. It was either early Farm Trails or early Select Sonoma County. And they had a gathering in the exact same place.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's that long tradition of connection.
Yeah.
Plus, farmers and other producers work really hard.
Yes.
They don't get to see each other that often.
Yes.
So there's that element as well that
Absolutely.
Is really nice.
Absolutely. And Steve pulls out the bonfires towards the end of the evening, and so people sitting around the fires having great conversation mm-hmm. about all kinds of things, and it's just a great opportunity to connect and enjoy great food and drink.
Now, one of the things that happens is there's a silent auction. Do you want to talk
yes.
a little bit more about that?
Sure. So we have procured a number of interesting items from some from our members and some just from the community at large. And again, it's a way of supporting Farm Trails. But for example, Sonoma Wool Company is donating a lovely wool comforter.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
They were on here, I think, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I started sleeping under a local wool comforter 2 years ago. It changes everything. It's wonderful. What a great item.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Laguna Farm is donating a CSA subscription, and I just adore their vegetables. I think
mm-hmm,
Jennifer and Nacho
job.
Are just amazing. We got an antique seed spreader from Antique Society. Which
a what?
Is an antique seed spreader. It's like this metal thing that, it's a hand seed spreader.
Okay. Oh, a seed.
Yeah.
I was thinking seat.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
A seed spreader. How cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then Andy's is donating this amazing gift fruit gift basket fruits mm-hmm. and things huge. They always
there's going to be
so
a couple
generous.
New books there as well.
There's yes, you could. Which yes, I'm so
gonna,
grateful for
I'm
that.
I'm going to see what I have in my library and give you as many of my new books as I have available.
Wonderful.
Not all of them have come in yet.
Wonderful. Yes, and then we'll have a as I mentioned, a signed G. Clay of this year's Apple Fair poster from Dan Gilbert, our amazing graphic designer, mm-hmm. and he'll be there answering questions and. You know, kind of talking things up. So it's a fun variety of items. And mm-hmm. the other thing I want to mention is we'll also be featuring a lot of Sonoma County wines.
Of course.
Wine from Preston and Truett Hurst and mm-hmm. and Dutton Estate. And so
Atascadero Creek, maybe, because they're right there.
You know, I actually don't know if we have any from them off the top of my head. I'd have to ask Carmen, but
I just live right up above Atascadero Creek,
nice.
So I think of them.
Neat. So, yeah, it's... It's just I just love this event. It's just a joy to put it on and be a part of. And
now, one thing, when people hear that there's going to be all these producers and people getting together who haven't seen each other in a while, someone who doesn't know anybody can feel a little hesitant at times. So is this something where the general public will feel comfortable?
Oh, I think so. In fact, I have a great story about that. Last year, this couple from, I think it was San Francisco, I don't know how they found the event, but they bought a couple of tickets, and then they brought their mom along, and I know what it was. They were thinking about moving to Sonoma County, and they just, I met them at registration because I was helping with registration. By the end of the night, like, oh my God, this was so fun, and just the community and the willingness for people to really talk to, like you said, a perfect stranger, and mm-hmm. strike up this conversation about. Certainly about the food,
uh-huh.
but yeah, there's really we do make an effort to make sure that everyone feels uh-huh. included. We have quite a number of wonderful volunteers that are part of putting this on as well.
Uh-huh.
So,
and how much are the tickets?
The tickets are $75, and they must be purchased in advance through Brown Paper Tickets. Tonight on Mouthful, we're offering a special.
That's
so
right.
We have six tickets available to Mouthful listeners at the special price of $50. So if you go to
That's
Brown
Paper,
it's a good savings. So if you go to Brown Paper Tickets and you enter the discount code Mouthful,
really? Oh, how cute!
Yes, and you can get. You know, and of course, it's while supplies limited. There's only six mm-hmm. of them. So if you're interested in coming, do it fast. If you go to Brown Paper Tickets and search on Barbecue Brews and Barn Dance, it will pop up, and there you go.
Now, if you go to farmtrails.org, mm-hmm. is there a click-through?
There is a click-through okay. on our homepage
yeah,
as
some
well.
People find that easier
Absolutely.
To get to Brown Paper. I always do it because I get lost in Brown Paper Tickets.
Oh, it's easy to do.
Yeah, so you just go to farmtrails.org, mm-hmm. and then you can read about the event, get any details we might have mm-hmm. missed or you might have missed
Definitely.
While we're yammering at you, and then just click through and enter Mouthful. There's only one L in Mouthful. I'm sure you know that, but... Don't accidentally put in two. And then we should tell people about where Dutton Estate is. It's off
Dutton
Ranch.
It's
off Grayton Road.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just before you come to, I think, Miramar Estate. A little bit before you come.
Yeah. Yeah. Miramar. It's right at the S curve.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, so and if you get lost, if you pass it, what you do is you just go down until you see the really big dog sculptures on your right, which are at Miramar Estates, and you just, you know, make a U-ey and come back to Dutton.
Yeah.
The Springer Spaniel Folk Art.
That's right. Springers, that's what they are. I just love those.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a few minutes more, 3 or 4 minutes more. So let's just move on a little tiny bit and give a preview of the Apple Fair.
Oh, so we're so excited.
So the dates?
The dates are August 8th and 9th at Regal Ranch Park at Sebastopol.
Right.
Yeah. We are in the process of putting together our vendors right now. We're just in the process of selecting our food and arts and crafts vendors and have, as usual, a yummy, yummy lineup of people coming on the food side.
Mm-hmm. Now, with vendors, there was a move, I think, when Carmen started bringing it out of the ashes. There's a move to make it more local.
And that's definitely with the food vendors and the arts and crafts vendors. We prioritize local vendors for sure.
That is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and we also prioritize food vendors that source locally.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, there's a good chance that we're going to have a juice vendor who sources all their fruits and stuff locally.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be new to us. And then, of course, like Kendra Calling, the farmer's wife, will be.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, she's amazing. Uh-huh.
Most amazing sandwiches ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's actually just got a booth at the Ferry Building in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, have her on the show. She's quite a hoot.
Yeah, I've had her on before, but it was a while ago.
Yeah.
But not about sandwiches.
Yeah, and then the backyard will have a booth, which is really fun. Yeah, and then, you know, a lot of our old favorites, like the Grandma's Apple Fritters, mm-hmm. Community Church, you know, we'll have apple pies. Kozlowski will be doing apple pies again. Of course, Dutton Ranch will be selling Gravenstein's. It's a great place because, you know, Gravenstein's, it's not great in commerce. And so the apple fair is a great place to come and get a case of Gravenstein's if you want. So,
now, last year, I think, didn't Slow Food have a booth?
They are going to have a booth
there
again.
Great. Yep. Because that's where I'm going to try to be with my books. Is have my books at Slow Food. I'm hoping that they asked me last year, but I was actually working on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't leave my house. This year I can leave my house, and I will be there. I will be there giving the cooking demonstration at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And if they need somebody more on Saturday, mm-hmm. I would do it 2 days in a row.
And also, the Apple Fair is a great opportunity to taste amazing local wines.
And mm-hmm.
We have quite a variety of wines. New last year and coming back this year is the artisan cheese area, where we do artisan cheese paired with the beverage. And then the DIY arena is back in full force, teaching things like seed saving and felting and all that sort
of
stuff.
God, it just sounds so great. I can't wait for this year. And on that note, we are out of time here on A Mouthful. So I want to thank Marshall Bailing. Got it right. Marshall Bailing of Foxcraft and Nick Diamond of Foxcraft and Susie Gruber of Farm Trails. Barbecue, Brews, and Barn Dance coming up next Saturday. If you want to get a discounted ticket, just go to farmtrails.org, click through to Brown Paper Tickets, and enter Mouthful as your discount code. Meet me here next week, and I'll tell you all about it because I will be there. It's Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming on KRCB.
If I claim to have the answers, would I be taking chances loving you? And if I could say the wind was right, I shouldn't stay with you tonight. Who would lose? 'Cause you got me dancing down these muddy roads, soft sand between my toes, feeling fine. The sunlight playing on my back, shirt in hand, singing out in crazy rhyme. And if I could see around the bend, would it change the time I spend wanting you? If I could bring you a perfect rose from all the pretty buds that grow, how could I choose? You got me dancing down these muddy roads with soft sand between my toes, feeling fine. Sunlight playing on my back, shirt in hand, singing out in crazy rhyme.